Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Victory lane? Yeah, it's even better with Chumba by my side. Race to ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. CTNCs. 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
Welcome back in Morning Drive. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rexroad from The Athletic taking you through this Monday morning. Talking Titans. And let's bring in our good friend Darren McFarland from Darren Donick and Chase. Darren, what's going on, my man?
Boy, Marquise can always give me the Monday coffee, man. I don't even need it. I don't need the liquid. Just the good music.
Just a little night train, Darren. I got you a little night train there.
Yeah, I got some Nissan Stadium and Bridgestone Arena memories from that.
And that's Munson's girlfriend. This is the album, right?
Yeah.
This is the album she wants you to explore.
No, I did. I actually listened to it. I listened to the whole – for the first time, Darren, I listened to Appetite for Destruction in its entirety.
For the first time?
Well, no. I mean, obviously, I've heard Welcome to the Jungle and all the main songs.
Paradise City.
I've heard the cliche, the ones that's on the radio all the time. But I never listened to the album like start – to finish in its entirety.
Pretty great. Right.
Pretty great. Right.
Yeah.
Pretty great. The Roses side, it starts off a little slow for me, like the first two songs, but it picks up later. It picks up.
Yeah, it's
like
good
it.
Stuff. By the way, Bridgestone Arena, if I didn't get a tip that they were going to be on the stage at 7 o'clock, I'm like, Axl Rose, Guns N' Roses? Yeah, right. And they're like, you better be in your seat at 7 o'clock. I'm like, come on. Really? I was there at 7 o'clock. They were on the stage at 7 o'clock on the button.
That never happens.
Never.
Yeah, and it was about 10 o'clock. In 1989, that did not happen.
Oh, no, it did not. They were lucky to come on stage in 1989. Forget being on time. Yeah, they played for over 3 hours.
Oh, man.
And they started at 7 on the button. Half of Bridgestone Arena, which was sold out for the show, was in their seats. And I'm sitting there laughing going, yeah, you didn't get the memo. I'm with you. If I didn't get the memo, I would have been there with you too. I wouldn't have been in my seat, but it was a crazy show. But anyway, guys, thanks for having me.
Absolutely. Thanks for coming on with us. And, Darren, we've been talking a whole lot of Titans this morning. And I want to ask you specifically – about Ryan Tannehill and what your expectations are for him. Because, look, I mean, you look at his numbers last year when he came in, they were insane. I mean, his efficiency was through the roof, yards per attempt, all these different things. They're probably not going to be as high this year, just statistically speaking, because that would probably mean a league MVP season if they are. Where do you think expectations for Ryan Tannehill should be, in your opinion?
Well, look, if he duplicates last season when he replaced Marcus Mariota, John Robinson needs to walk around the facility with no shirt on and just point at himself, right, for about a month straight going, huh? Huh? Look at me, huh? Because he got
– What a visual.
what a visual, especially on a Monday morning. I mean, you know, a lot of people questioned giving Tannehill that type of money because of probably the question that you're asking. It's a little bit more than half of a season. Like, we've seen his body of work. Really? Like, you think he can do that again? That is the big question. But here's the deal. Now he is the guy, right? And so he is coming in as the starter, and they are putting this offense in place around him being under center. That wasn't the case this time last year. So familiarity and all the pieces around him, same deal with, we were talking about, you know, what is Adam Humphreys going to bring to the table? This guy, and well, it's all the pieces that they've had in place. So there's no excuses of, well, man, they look a little bit rusty. I get it. This offseason's been weird. But I still think with all that being said, and if A.J. Brown can even come close duplicate or even take a step forward with what he did last year. Jonnu Smith taking a step forward, even with that being said, it's going to be extremely difficult for him to do what he – I mean, he had basically an historical regular season last year as a starter, but I don't think they're asking Ryan Tannehill to do that because of the way they've built this offense. I think they just need to keep pounding Derrick Henry, and Ryan Tannehill needs to stay healthy, which is vitally important, right, because – a lot of us are wondering, okay, if he goes down, now what? They've made their bet. They've said it's Logan Woodside and Cole McDonald. I guess that's the guys they're going with. At least that's what it feels like today. I don't think there's a veteran quarterback in the cards, a luxury that they had last year when they decided to pull the plug on Mariota. So I don't think you can expect him to do the same, but Is anybody believe that he could do the same, but yet they still can't have the same results? I don't think he has to be exactly the same and them still not win a division and get where they need to be.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, look, expecting him to lead the league in NFL rating, I mean, he's one of two quarterbacks to have 70% completion and 9 yards an attempt ever. You know, it's him and Montana in 89, Guns N' Roses prime. Also, Joe Montana's prime. So, I mean, that's not realistic, but I'm with you, Darren. I mean, if he's really good, and he looks really good right now, the offense should be great. But, obviously, the other side of the ball is where most of the concern is. So, what is your concern level with that side of the ball, and I guess in particular pass rush right now?
Well, certainly that is got to be number one, right? And I don't know what's, you know, we haven't, I guess Mike Vrabel asked this weekend? I didn't see the head drop. Was the Clowney question asked?
No, he's getting a break from the Clowney.
Okay,
now
I was
that you
say,
mention it, maybe today's a good day.
I felt like he got a break this weekend. I didn't see him drop his head to the table and have about 20 seconds of awkward silence about the Clowney question.
We're taking it easy on him.
It's early. Ease into training camp, right? Ease into this stuff.
Exactly.
I mean, it could still happen. They need it to happen, obviously. They need to get to the quarterback. They need to do a better job of that. Obviously, they've lost some guys. And Dean Pease, that's probably 1 and 1A to me. I mean, pass rush. And how does Mike Vrabel handle being a head coach, defensive coordinator? I know he's got somebody that's going to help him when he's not available. But we also haven't seen that from him. So if we haven't seen that from him, it's still fair to ask, how is that going to work? It's not easy to pull off. Some coaches can do it. Some coaches have done it very well. Some coaches have not. We don't know if Mike Vrabel can handle the defensive duties and being the head coach. There's a lot already that comes with just being a head coach. They need the defense and the other side of the ball to be good again. Dean Pease was really good, and they're going to miss him. But, you know, I don't think there's going to be some cliff dive or anything, if that's what you're asking, Joe, and I don't think you are. I think when you look at the personnel, there's guys on that roster that can take – that can be better. Like Jeffrey Simmons should be better this year. Rashawn Evans, a guy they identified as a guy, and you both know talking to him, and you root for a guy like that. He's so much fun to talk to. He's a tremendous player and should take another step in his career. So there are guys that have more to give. Harold Landry, I think, has more to give. And so with that being said, if those guys have more to give, then there shouldn't be a fall off with the defense.
Darren McFarland from Darren Donick and Chase on the line with us. And Darren,
by the way, did the Nashville SC game end yet? Do we have a final?
Yeah, we got a final. 0-0.
Okay. I don't know if it was still raining in Dallas or not.
I think it ended approximately 4 a.m.
Oh boy. I actually was watching it and then I said I gotta go to bed.
I gotta go to sleep. Sleep is valuable.
Yeah, that's some great passing and some good attempts there in the first 20 minutes, but I gotta go to bed.
We were the same way. Sleep is vital when you wake up at 4:30 to do a morning show.
Yes.
So Darren, I want to talk to you about Corey Davis a little bit. Obviously, this is a huge year for him. He's never going to get over those expectations of being the 5th overall draft pick. What do you think fair expectations should be for Corey Davis specifically this year in this offense?
What are fair expectations? I mean, I don't think anything's ever going to be fair with Corey Davis because of what you said at the beginning. And look, I'm just as guilty as anybody, but that's just how it works. It's not his fault that he was drafted 5th overall and the first number one receiver in the draft. It's not his fault. He got paid for it. He's been rewarded for that. But, you know, I just don't believe he's ever going to live up to that. I mean, there's no proof that the proverbial switch is going to turn on in year four. I mean, there just is no proof of that. And right now, his best season is what, 65 catches? Last year, he had 43 catches. I mean, you look at his numbers last year, that's his third year. I mean, they've been trying to make him the number one. They've been trying to get him to be A.J. Brown. And, like, all of his numbers were, like, you know, 49th in this category, 87th in this category. I mean, it's just – I just think, unfortunately, this is what he is. If he was a third-round pick, he would be. It would be perfectly acceptable what he brings to the table, right? He was a third- or fourth-round pick, but he wasn't. And so he's never going to get past that. And I just think this is who he is. He's about a 50-catch-a-year guy, and that's kind of what I expect from him, a 50 catches this season. He's a good blocker. He does other things to help his team, but that's not what you draft a guy fifth overall and the number one receiver in the draft for. You want him to be dynamic like A.J. Brown has been early on, and A.J. Brown has proven he is the number one. So what do I expect out of him? Exactly what we've seen the last 3 years. It's not his fault. It's just his fault that he was drafted that high, and that's the expectations that have been put on him and will always be put on him. He'll never be able to shed that, and I expect 50 catches out of him for about, I don't know, 600 yards.
So Darren Vanderbilt's on the field today. Tennessee is on the field today. The SEC is practicing. The Paul Feinbaum show will have the first week. The SEC Network tonight will have the full SEC schedule. So it's like this big celebration of SEC football with a lot of uncertainty still surrounding, SEC football 6 weeks from now, what will actually happen. Do you feel any differently today than you did at the end of last week?
I feel differently right now than I did 10 minutes ago. So schedule release means there's going to be college football, right?
I guess so.
You release a schedule, a revised schedule, and that means there's going to be college football?
Somebody tell the Big Ten.
You would think it would mean something.
That didn't work in the Big Ten. Joe, I don't know. I'm like you guys. Do I think they're going to attempt it? Do I think they've approached this the right way? I don't understand why the Big Ten and Pac-12 decided to make that decision last week. Why? I mean, that's what I don't understand. Why? If you're talking about starting in late September, why? Why would you make that decision now? Haven't we learned stuff through all of this 5+ months? Like, don't come out and say things like, we will do this or this will happen. No, you don't know that. So don't say it. So I think they're going to try. I think they're going to attempt to pull this off. I hope they're successful. But I don't know. I mean, a schedule release, I mean, I say that as a joke because it is kind of a joke, right? The Big Ten released their schedule, and 5 days later they cancel their season. So, yeah, they've released a schedule. Great. They're going to attempt to pull this off. Great. I guess what I've said throughout all this is the lines get blurred for me because I don't understand where we're supposed to. So let me get this straight. What is happening this Friday in this state?
High school football.
At least last time I checked, right? Did I miss the memo? Maybe something happened overnight. Did they cancel high school football?
No, it's going down.
Okay. I thought high school football is happening this Friday, correct?
That's correct.
So high school football is going to be played around the country, but yet they can't figure out how to make college football work? I mean, you see what I mean? Like, I don't understand. Like, how are they going to do that, but then yet you can't successfully pull off college football? How is high school football? And, oh, by the way, what if? And I'm just saying what if because I don't know. But what if the SEC and the ACC and the Big 12 actually do pull this off? Like, what if it happens? Like, what if they have a season and they have a successful season? What do you think is going to happen with the Big 10 and the Pac-12? What is the fallout from that?
That's a good question. People are angry now, and they will be more angry at that point.
Well, I mean – right? I mean, if high school football is being played around the country and some conferences are going to play college football and it happens, and I'm not saying that they'll get through it, but if they do, just for the sake of this conversation, what is the fallout for those two conferences? I mean, it's got to be astronomical, right? It's got to be a huge fallout. Just forget what the effect that you like recruiting and just like what'll happen, the ripple effect for those conferences. For, I mean, Joe, you know this, you covered it for how many years? I mean, what is the ripple effect for the Big Ten for the next 5 years if they don't play this year, which they're not, at least as of today, right now, and everybody else does?
Yeah, well, that spring season that they don't have planned out at all, better happen in that
all
case.
All of a sudden, it's getting
and
planned.
They also better beg for everyone else to hold off and wait, have your playoff in June? Can you
Could
wait?
Could you wait on us a little bit?
Yeah, should be interesting.
Good luck with that.
Darren McFarland from Darren Donick and Chase has been our guest here on Morning Drive. D-Mac, appreciate it as always, my friend. Thanks for joining us.
Gentlemen, have a great rest of your show. Thank you.
Appreciate you. Darren Donick and Chase coming up directly after us at 10 o'clock here on 102.5 The Game. We'll come back, react to a little bit of what Darren had to say there, also dive into the Preds a little bit as well. That's next. This is Morning Drive on ESPN 102.5 The Game.
Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. The rush of racing? Nothing beats it. But Chumba Casino comes close. Chumba's got fast spins, fun games, daily bonuses, and all the action you can handle. Now that's a ride. Ready to hit the throttle? Get in the driver's seat and head to ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
Sponsored by Chumba Casino. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.